Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Mike, and I am one of the elders here in Joshua and Musenberg. You know, many times in the Gospels, people come to Jesus and experience or don't experience the Son of God. You know, Julian shared just about that lady who was struggling with bleeding, and it says in that story that she pushes through the crowd. You know, she's not being passive. She's taking a very, I need to touch that man. I need to touch the Savior. But there's other examples, like the rich young ruler, for example. He actually starts a whole conversation with Jesus, and then he walks away. And I'd like to suggest to us that, you know, two people can walk into church, into the same church, the same afternoon. One can meet Jesus, and one can miss him. And so I want to ask you, if you are here today, it is very possible for you to come here and to meet with the Son of the living God. It's also very possible for you to come here and miss him and to walk away. And that's the same thing as next Sunday or any time the body of Christ gathers. We saw it when Jesus' ministry was here on earth, and we see it today. And I want to encourage you to not be like the many people, I listed the one, the rich young ruler, but there's many other Pharisees and all kinds who even, what's the king? King Herod, you know, just before the crucifixion, he finally gets the audience of Jesus, but when Jesus refuses to do a miracle in his presence, he starts to mock him. He has a personal encounter face to face with Jesus, but when Jesus won't dance, when he asks him to dance, he misses out. And so I want to say to us, Jesus can be right in front of us, and we can miss him. I want to encourage you, don't miss him. He's worth everything. He's worth pursuing. He's worth going after. The title for my message today maybe sounds a bit difficult off the start, but it's The Glory of Suffering. The Glory of Suffering. You know, if I consider what Dill's been preaching a lot this year, I could also call it the warfare of obedience through suffering. Learning to warfare by being obedient in the midst of trials, tribulations, and sufferings. 22 years ago, as a young man, oh, maybe I should say, wow, I'll just continue. 22 years ago, as a young man, I had spent 4 summers working at a Bible camp in Canada, and I loved it. For me, that was the place I met Jesus for the first time. And after 4 years at this camp, I felt the Lord really put on my heart that it was time for a change, and specifically, I felt the Lord put on my heart that it was time to go to a camp where the need was greatest in terms of having young Christian people to come and serve. And part of the reason was the camp that I was at had a lot of staff. They had a lot of good young Christian people who were working at that camp. And so I called the national office and I said to them, here I am. Where would you want me to go? I'd be available. Is there any place that really needs help? And the lady on the phone, she didn't hesitate. She just immediately said, yes, absolutely. There's a specific camp in Quebec that is seriously short on staffing. And I immediately had two hesitations. First, I will admit, Quebec was not on my radar. I wanted to go to the provinces west, Alberta, BC, the mountains. And two, I said to the lady, I said, well, the obvious problem is I don't speak French. And Quebec is the French province in Canada. And she said to me, that's all right. Actually, part of the camp's ministry is teaching English. It's an English camp intentionally to bring in non-Christian kids whose parents just want them to come to learn English, and it gives the camp an opportunity to preach the gospel. And now I was like, oh, you know, and I just said to her the Christian thing. I said, you know what? I'm just going to pray about it for a few days and come back to you. I hung up the phone. I instantly knew that conviction of the Holy Spirit of, Mike, that is not what I asked you to do. And it weighed on me. And eventually I called back and I said, okay, I will go to what the Lord asked me to do. I will go to the camp that's most in need. You know, God desires obedience. And while going to Quebec wasn't what I wanted, it was not what I was asking God for, He knew better than me. He knew better than me. And that brings us to Romans 8, 28. Almost at Romans 8, 28. There we go. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I absolutely love this scripture. This is a scripture that is commonly twisted and misused, but it's actually an incredible scripture. It's an incredible scripture. God works for the good of those who love Him in all situations. Now, that does not mean that in every situation we will see how God works. We may not see how God works, but it's a promise that God will work for the good of those who love Him in all situations. And it also does not mean that there will not be adversity or hardship or challenge. But God. You see, often when we pray and we ask God for something, He may respond quickly with a yes, but He may also respond with a no. Or He may respond with a, I have something totally different and better for you. What He wants is obedience. So for me, I didn't want to go to Quebec, but if I had never gone to Quebec, if I had never listened, I would never have met my wife. So this week I was reading through Hebrews, and my main passage that I want to preach from today is Hebrews chapter 5. So if you want to follow with me, you can from Hebrews 5. I'm going to spend most of our time there. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Just pause there and take note of that. He was heard. His prayers were heard because of His reverent submission. You know, how you live your life impacts how God hears your prayers. James says the prayers of the righteous man avails or accomplishes much. God hears everybody's prayer. You don't even have to be a Christian for God to hear your prayer. God hears everyone's prayer. But His ear is tuned differently to the one who lives in reverent submission, to the one who lives and walks in righteousness. Verse 8. Although He was a son, speaking of Jesus, He learned obedience from what He suffered. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to actually have 5 points from this passage, which is just way too many, I know that. But as I was reading through it, there were just 5 things that I really felt the Lord highlight that I want to bring up. So hopefully some of you, you know, if you're like Jules and you take notes, you have a chance of remembering. But yeah, so there are going to be 5 points. So the first point I felt that just the Lord highlight is, it's incredible to me in that first verse, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. It's incredible to me how relatable the humanness of Jesus. You know, it's not just theology that we say Jesus was fully human. He really was fully human. And when He prayed with loud cries, with pleadings, with tears. He understands what it's like to struggle in prayer. He understands our suffering. Who here at some point has not prayed in a similar manner? Which of you at some point has not prayed with pleadings, with loud cries, with tears? Jesus did the same. I know many times I have. And for many different reasons. You know, sometimes I've prayed with prayers and petitions, loud cries, with tears, with pleading, from a place of actual physical pain and physical struggle. Other times it's because of a brokenness in relationship or someone who has hurt me, has caused me to just get on my knees before God. And there's been times where it's my own doing, it's my own sin, and just seeing what have I done that causes me to fall on my knees before God and cry to Him. Jesus prayed much the way we pray when we are deeply looking into God's face. He was fully human, and he experienced the nitty-gritty of what it was like to live life. And so when we pray from a hard place, He knows what that's like. He walked that road. He prayed from a hard place, not just intellectually, but with everything that was in His being. Second thing I want us to see from this passage is that God heard Jesus' prayer, but He did not answer yes to Jesus' request. That's a serious thing. Jesus prayed to the one who could deliver Him from death, and God heard that prayer. But as we see, what it's speaking about is recorded, actually, Jesus' prayer in Luke chapter 22. So we can see this prayer of Jesus it's referencing. It says, He, Jesus, withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and He prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me, this cup of suffering. Yet not My will, but Yours be done. Jesus was in great agony as He prepared to face death. And although He cried out to God to be delivered, He trusted God more than with what He wanted Himself. He trusted God's will more than His own. And He was prepared if God's will led Him down a path to suffer humiliation, to suffer even separation from the Father, and finally to suffer from the separation of death. God's will was a greater concern in Jesus' prayer life than His own will and His own desire. What about you? When you pray, are you praying with all of your heart for your will, or are you praying with all of your heart for God's will? It's a very different way to pray. At times, we will also undergo trials, difficulties. And many times, it's not because we want. Obviously, we don't want trials, or few people want trials. Maybe Dave, because he likes to, like, climb rocks. That's like a trial, if you ask me. Scaling a wall. But like Jesus, He didn't want. He said, may this cup be taken from Me. But for Him to be obedient to God was going to lead to suffering. Not always, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying always. But I would say at some points in our lives, obeying God is going to lead to suffering. At some point in your life, when you make a choice to follow God's plan, it is going to lead to struggle, to suffering, to difficulty. You know, part of the reason this is on my heart is just the last couple weeks, it has been crazy how much challenges have come against people in our congregation. And my hope is that as I preach today, some of what I'm saying can be taken so that actually where you're at in that struggle, in that challenge, you can meet the Lord. You can find a Savior who cried out to God from that same place. And not only can you find him there, but he will do a great work in your life. He will use that trial to do something new, to grow greater love, maturity, and depth of faith in your life. You know, we have had in our congregation just in the last couple weeks struggles with lacks of job, broken cars, difficult, tricky family situation, dog bites for Keith. I'm sorry, my brother. Illness. Death of loved ones. You know, we're not that many people. And these things have all been happening among us. And I think that, honestly, I think Satan wants us to believe the lie that I will grow in faith when life is easier. He wants us to believe the lie that, you know, maybe right now in the middle of your stress, anxiety, pressure, difficulty, whatever the situation is, you know, don't worry about growing close to God right now. When life gets sorted, you know, you're not doing renovations anymore. We're doing renovations, that's why I say that. It's torture. That's the time to grow in faith. But that actually is absolutely the lie of the enemy. God wants to meet you in that place of trial. And he wants you to learn to obey and to follow him today. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. That's a crazy thought. That is what verse 8 said. We'll chuck verse 8 up there again. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And that's really my third point from this passage, that it's in our trials. It's in our sufferings. That is the place that we learn to obey and follow God. Raph was asking, what's the second one? God didn't answer Jesus' prayer. Sometimes when we pray, God says yes. Yes. Well, Mariev brings up a good point as well, but it's too quiet. But basically, when we pray, it's okay to ask God what's on your heart. But the greater concern is his will and his glory. And so even the very thing on my heart, I surrender. And I say, God, I ask you for this, but I lay it down. And if you have something else, I trust you, even if that seems very difficult to me. That's the example of Christ. That was point two. The long version. So point three is that in our trials and tribulations, that is where we learn to obey and follow God. Romans 5 verse 3 and 4 says this, and not only that, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. You know, last year I spent a lot of time in hospital battling leukemia. This was one of my favorite verses. Why? Because in the middle of that tribulation, in the middle of that suffering, there was this promise that if I draw near to God, if I put my faith and my trust in him, he actually in this place, he's going to do something new. He's going to do something new. He's going to be able to use this trial, this suffering, to produce godly perseverance. And in that godly perseverance, produce godly character. And in that godly character, produce hope. That even if my life ends, there is resurrection. There is resurrection. And so back to verse 9 and 10. It's in this way. It's in this way of learning obedience through suffering. So that's what it says. Well, it's slightly different than my version. My version says, in this way, meaning like the last verse, which was learning obedience through suffering, he, Christ, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He became the source of eternal salvation. I'm going to read my translation. This is NLT. In this way, so again, the way it's speaking of is verse 8, which was learning obedience through suffering. In that way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. As Christ obeyed, this is absolutely incredible to me, as Christ obeyed through suffering, in that way, he became qualified for the ministry that God had for him. Now, you and I are not called to the same ministry that Christ was called to. What ministry is he called to? It says, and he became the source of eternal salvation. We might not be called to that ministry, but my fourth point is, in the same way as Christ walked in obedience and suffering and became qualified, in the same way it will happen to us. As you learn to obey God in suffering, as you learn to follow his ways in trials and tribulation, you will become qualified for the calling on his life, on your life, sorry. And if you do not learn to follow God, if you do not learn obedience through hardship, you can easily miss out on the calling in your life, the calling that God has for you. And so I want to encourage you today. I really believe with all my heart that each one of you, first off, does have a calling from God. God doesn't call some and not others. He calls and gives gifts to everyone in the body. And whatever that calling is, whether you are called to take care of the babies in the back, looks like Tim back there, or whether you're called to lead worship, or whether you're called to be a deacon, an elder, a comm group leader, or whether you're called to be an evangelist, whatever God is calling you to, a significant aspect of you growing into that calling, to be qualified for that calling, is to learn to walk in obedience during the hard times. You know, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, it's very easy to follow Jesus when it's a time of blessing, when everything's going smoothly in life. But your character will not be tested until there is a trial. Now, part of the reason this message is on my heart is that I know our time as a family, our time with you guys is short. We have been in South Africa 11 years. We have absolutely loved it here. And if any of you were at the Josh Jen gathering a couple weeks ago, you heard it announced that we are moving back to Canada. And this is true. And we'll be moving back in roughly July, August. And if I think of moving back, well, I hope we get to come and visit. I don't know when that'll be. And even if we do come and visit, I don't know if a year or two or three from now, if we get to come and visit, I frankly don't know if you will be here. I don't know if I will be here. Maybe the Lord has called you home before then. And so what matters to me if we are going to Canada, if I consider each of you, will your faith last? Do you have an enduring faith? Is your faith resilient? Can your faith survive when trials and difficulties and tribulations come? Because they will come. Because our hope is, if we do not see you here on earth again, we will see you in heaven. And so how you build your faith, is it built on sand or is it built on the rock of Jesus Christ, makes all the difference in eternity. There are many who appear to follow the Lord at some point, but then something in their life happens. There's a death of a loved one. A child gets very sick. A church leader hurts them. Remember, churches are full of people struggling with sin. The leaders are struggling with sin. There's no one perfect on this earth. When those trials happen, whatever it is, do you know Jesus is bigger? Do you know Jesus is stronger? Can you hang on to him as the anchor for your soul? We have loved being here. It's hard to believe my kids were 1 and 3 when we moved. You know, you guys have deeply loved us. We have felt so ministered to when we have been through trials and difficulties. We have felt many of your practical hands helping us all kinds of ways. You know, I think Julian on my roof last year trying to help a water leak, or, you know, I mean, just countless things. You have hosted us. You have prayed for us. You have cried with us. We love you guys. And we have also, you know us mostly from here, but you know most of what we do is in the Cape Flats. I deeply love the Cape Flats. I love the people and the churches in those areas, and I'm going to miss them deeply. And so when I think of those churches, I think of the same thing. My concern isn't so much, you know, this Sunday was something in, you know, really good or not. No, my concern is your faith deeply rooted in Christ? You know, will that be a church that thrives and makes it? Is healthy, is like that song we sung, is a bride prepared for her husband, ready for eternity? You know, I find it very challenging to myself. The Bible is very clear that few find and follow the road of Christ. It doesn't say wide is the road to follow Jesus. It says narrow is the road. Narrow is the road that follows Christ. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that follows Christ because it's a road of laying down my life. It's a road of learning to follow him, learning to do it his way, even when I don't feel like it, even when I'm struggling, when I'm suffering, when I'm lonely, when I'm lost. Living for the glory of God is a narrow road that few find. My prayer is that every one of you would find it. Every one of you would find it. And I think a natural question to ask is why? Why move? Why? I'll maybe give two answers to that. First, it is simply about, for us, obeying what God is asking us to do. We felt a long time ago the Lord call us to South Africa. And maybe already, I'll say about 5 years ago or so, others, not us, but others would say to us fairly regularly, you know, the day is coming the Lord is going to call you back to Canada. Neither of us, neither of us really believed that, wanted that, had faith for that. But those were words being spoken over us already for quite a long time. And I'll be honest, last year when I was lying in hospital, I just felt the Lord say to me very simply, Mike, you came to South Africa to serve in the Cape Flats. And while you're here, you weren't looking for a different way to do church. And yet I've given you a gift. And what I mean by this gift is an approach of following the building church that's really quite simple. Let's just follow what the Bible says. That's at the foundation of it. Let's just build church the way the Bible says. And if we just always do it that way, but it's not actually the way the Bible says, let's stop that. Now, that works itself out in many different ways. You know, do we call our leaders pastors as a title? And many, many other things. But the Lord has really won my heart to build church, not the way that's culturally normal, not even, you know, building church for the newcomer. It's good to welcome newcomers. We want to do that. But we build church the way God asks it to be built, according to the New Testament pattern. And I felt the Lord just say to me, I've given you a gift in growing in this. While you have time, I want you to take that gift back and be faithful with it. And so for me, from that time in hospital, I knew that at some point, a change was coming. You know, Jesus put God's will before his own. And we as a family, we want to do the same thing. And I'll be very honest with you, for each one in our family, it's very difficult in different ways. This is home to us. It has been for a long time. We love living here. But God. And that maybe connects with the second reason why. You know, part of being in an apostolic household, and all I mean by that is a church that's part of an apostolic ministry, is that element of apostolic ministry which is always to go further. It's always to bring the Word of God to new places and new territories. And we, you know, we are one congregation in many congregations called Josh Gen. And Josh Gen, in its many congregations, is part of a far bigger field of churches called 412. And it is our heart to see churches planted all over the world. And so there's an aspect to being in an apostolic household that I hope for each one of us we see actually applies to you and to me. And that is, there is an aspect of going. You know, Andrew, who leads 412, he's going to be relocating for the next few years to a small, struggling church in the U.S. You know, his daughter is 17, 18? 17? That's not easy telling your 17-year-old daughter we're moving to a different continent away from all her friends. But God. Sorry, I realized I didn't check my time before I started, but we're at 5:30. Back to Hebrews 5. Back to Hebrews 5, verse 11 to 14. We have much to say about this, so what we've previously just read, but it is hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who have by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. As we start to look towards serving in Canada, my fifth and final point is, I want to encourage you, make it your goal to get to solid food. Make it your goal, make it your passion to say, I don't want to stay where I'm at and know this much of God. If God is truly infinite, no matter how much you know, the amount you don't know far, far, far outweighs what you do. So I want to encourage you, make it your goal to get to solid food. Make it your goal to mature in Christ. Make it your goal to get past the basics, which are wonderful and every one of us needs, but to grow into maturity, so that you can have that anchor that will not move. Make it your goal that you're able to pray with absolutely all your heart to God, with prayers and pleadings and crying to God, and at the end of it, surrender it and say, God, I lay that down. Your will, not my will, be done. Make it your goal in whatever trial you're in, whatever challenge, suffering, or situation to say, God, I don't even know how I'm going to make it through this, but would you grow my faith in this? Would you grow my relationship with you in this? When you're in those hard places, say, God, help me to see your glory in this. Help me to see your glory so that you can grow something new in terms of perseverance, in terms of godly character. Make it your goal to say, God, I believe you have a calling on my life. I hope you're able to say that. God, I believe you have a calling on my life. I want to be qualified for that calling. And so I recognize that in order to be qualified for that calling, I need to learn to walk in obedience. I need to learn to walk in obedience. And as you do that, you will grow to eating solid food. God is worthy of each one of our lives. He is worthy of everything. Trials will come. But when they come, put your trust in God. It seems easy sometimes to see that in someone else, but we live in a world that is fundamentally broken, both physically and spiritually. You know, there's this tension between, we sang about it in a number of the songs, the kingdom coming. There's this tension between the kingdom is here, but it's not yet. There's full healing in the name of Jesus, and yet every one of our bodies is dying. Both those things are happening at the same time. Jesus even told us in John 16, he told us, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And so when you face that trouble, when you face that tension between the kingdom is here, but it's not yet, will you put your faith in the one who has overcome the world? And say, look, I may not see it in this world, but there is one who has overcome this world. And there is a world to come where everything will be made right. When the kingdom will not just be not yet, but the kingdom will come in full, in the power of God. I really believe when we are firmly rooted in Christ, nothing will be able to shake us. My last scripture is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. How many of you feel that? It's true, eh? Outwardly, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Can you say that? Even though your body may be struggling, my physical body, I cannot keep forever. But my spirit can be renewed every day. This verse 17 just, I think, is so, so important for us to really see things from a kingdom perspective. For our light, you know, the NLT says, for our present troubles are quite small and they won't last long. Our present troubles are quite small. You know, from a kingdom perspective, whatever you are facing, and I'm not trying to downplay the struggles people are facing, they are real. But from an eternal perspective, whatever trials we are facing, can we come before God and say, God, this feels like Mount Everest, but you say it's quite small because you are so much bigger than whatever trial I am facing. Our present troubles are quite small. And in contrast, the second part says, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. Our troubles are small, but what those troubles accomplish in us is the opposite. It's an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. I want to encourage you to help you put into practice the glory of suffering, learning obedience in trials. Ask God for perspective on your trial. Ask him to show you, how can it possibly be, God, that you say our present troubles are quite small? Why does it feel so big to me? How can I change my lens so I can see the truth of your word? You know, Dill has emphasized a lot this year that we want to learn to be a people who engage in warfare as opposed to seeking our own personal welfare. And I think there's something so significant in that, that we learn to be a people who put on the full armor of God, who put on the full armor of God and engage in every battle, no matter how big, no matter how small, with not the weapons of the flesh, but with the weapons of the Lord. And so that even as we engage that battle, if as that battle's happening, because of that kingdom now but not yet, our bodies are failing, as it says, we still, in that place, we say, God, you have the glory. You have the honor. I will trust you even if my body is failing, because in you my spirit is renewed every moment of every day, regardless of any circumstances. Nothing can take that away, that my spirit can be renewed in Christ regardless of circumstances. And that will make our present troubles feel small, whatever they are. In landing, my wife said something chippy, I'm sure, but I missed it. I would love to pray for those who struggle to keep their faith strong during trials. Okay, I'm not saying necessarily today you feel like you're going through a strong trial or tribulation or suffering, although you might. But if you know in your life, if you look back on your life, at points of hardship, if it has been difficult in that point of hardship, whether that point is today or in the past, if it has been difficult to grow in the Lord in that place, to put your trust and your hope in God in that place, I'd love to pray for you today. And so we'll get to that in a second. And before I get to that, we always want to be a church that just preaches the gospel. And so, you know, we spoke before about Jesus, that verse where he says, God, would you take this cup from me? But not my will, but your will be done. And the cup that he was talking about was, he knew he was about to lay down his life. And what that very simply looked like is, he was God's son. He came, he lived on earth, he showed the people what God was like. But the people rejected God. They did not want him. And so the people, the Romans, they took Jesus and they crucified him. They nailed him on the cross. And the Bible teaches us that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was the perfect sacrifice, the one sacrifice for all time. By his blood, all sins are forgiven. When he died on the cross, he took upon himself all the sins of all humanity of all time. And he opened the door. The curtain is torn in the temple to enter into God's presence. And so as that curtain was torn and the entry into God's presence was made available to all people, the path to enter in it is simply faith. And so today is an opportunity for all of us to put our faith in Christ so that we can be made right with God. Let's pray.